At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Closing arguments wrapped up about 30 minutes ago in the federal corruption trial of John Wiley Price. Prosecutors say the longtime Dallas County Commissioner accepted nearly $1 million in bribes in exchange for insider information and his vote on certain contracts. Price has pleaded not guilty. As KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, the jury will begin deliberating tomorrow morning.
Government and defense attorneys boiled 8 weeks of the trial down to a few hours as they summarized their positions on this case. Prosecutor Catherine Miller opened, saying for 10 years, John Wiley Price took in double his salary while leaking information to political consultant Kathy Neely to help her clients who sought county contracts. Miller said Price compromised his elected position and his integrity. She says the longtime county commissioner took bribes in the form of money sent through the mail, cars owned by Neely, and real estate, as well as a business owned by his assistant, Daphne Fain. Prosecutors say Price never showed the $1 million he got in his tax returns. Three defense attorneys then fought back. Fain's lawyer Tom Mills said nothing was illegal. He said prosecutors withheld evidence that shouldn't have been. He said there was no fraud. Chris Knox, an attorney for Price, says the county commissioner was transparent. He said the government's case was all smoke and mirrors. Price's other attorney, Shirley Bacchus-Lobel, also attacked the government's case. She says prosecutors had to prove their case with the facts, but they didn't have the evidence. The government got the last word. Prosecutor Nicholas Bunch said Price and Fain are guilty, and that the commissioner deceived constituents and defrauded and cheated the IRS. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Most Texans oppose President Donald Trump's proposed border wall between the United States and Mexico. That's according to a new Texas Lyceum poll. It finds 61% of respondents are against the plans. Darren Shaw is coordinator of the Lyceum poll. He spoke with Public Radio's Texas Standard.
Texans are skeptical of the wall. They have always been skeptical. They don't necessarily think it's a great idea for a variety of different reasons, and they don't think it's probably a practical matter.
More than 60% of poll respondents say immigration helps the U.S. more than it harms it. Responses varied more by age than political leanings. Shaw says older respondents are the most skeptical of immigration.
They think people should follow the rules. And there were lots of these different reasons about, 19% for crime and safety, 17% for the economy and jobs, and 13% said, that people should just follow the rules.
Of respondents over 65 years old, 46% say immigration helps more than it hurts. But among 18 to 29-year-olds, 80% say immigration is more helpful. We have more details about the poll results at keranews.org. And when you head to Hollywood to make it as an actor, you have to have the courage of your convictions. Native Dallasite Stephen Tobolowsky made the trip more than 40 years ago. Today on Think, he talked to Chris Boyd about believing in yourself, having faith that you can make it, and the difference between the two.
Faith is not the same as belief. Faith is a unit of time. Faith is how long you are going to commit to a belief. And that determines how powerful your belief is. So the two act as it acts, faith acts as a multiplier. I think.
So faith is fidelity, is what you're saying.
Faith is. But it depends how long. I mean, if you're going to be faithful to an idea for your life, then that is a lot of faith. But a lot of times when people come to Los Angeles and they want to be actors, there's a lot of pain involved. There's a lot of humiliation involved. There's a lot of nothing involved. And people have a lot of trouble dealing with nothing, especially if you're an artist. And I'm not saying I'm an artist, but if people want to go into writing or acting or directing or graphic arts or photography, there is a lot of nothing you have to deal with.
Yeah.
And that takes faith to sail those seas.
Stephen Tobolowsky is the author of My Adventures with God. He speaks tonight in about an hour at the Dallas Museum of Art for DMA Arts and Letters Live. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, a look ahead to our next big series, which will be set in a neighborhood that's been on the financial edge for more than a century. It's West Dallas, across the Trinity River from downtown, and it's being transformed. High-end restaurants and apartments are crowding out rundown warehouses and weathered rent houses. KERA's Rick Holter sat down with reporter Courtney Collins to talk about what's happening to the people who've lived there for generations.
Courtney, your series is called One Crisis Away, No Place to Go. Why?
Well, that's the reality a lot of West Dallas families are actually facing right now. They have no place to go. Back in September, the city of Dallas strengthened its city code, which means they have a little bit more teeth when it comes to inspecting rental properties, mm-hmm. keeping things to a higher standard. Once that happened, 305 homes, majority of them in West Dallas, owned by the company HMK Limited, were found to no longer be up to code. Now, the landlord says he really can't afford to bring them up to code. He says they'd actually have to be demolished and rebuilt, and he doesn't have the funding to do that, nor could he rent them for very little once he did.
So how much do people pay in rent?
Families are really paying as little as $300 a month.
Wow, $300 a month.
Exactly. So the city agreed not to fine this landlord that owns HMK Limited for violations through the end of the school year, which is June 3rd. That means families could stay through then. But at this point, there's nothing left in West Dallas at that price point. So these families truly have no place to go.
So we're only a little more than a month away. Where are these people going?
Some have moved into spare rooms with family members. Some have moved to South Dallas, where there are a lot of other properties that are close to a similar price point. Some have moved out of the city altogether. And some don't really have a plan and are still in their houses, kind of praying for a miracle. I talked to this guy, Joe Garcia. He's one of the people that doesn't have a plan right now. He survives on a small disability check every month, and he lives with his 84-year-old mother.
On one situation, it's always a stretch. It's always a stretch for it. This West Dallas is mostly right now, it's like older people live here, and they don't know where to go.
Garcia says he's applied for Section 8 housing, was told he didn't qualify. He also hasn't had any luck securing a mortgage to buy his house, which he'd really like to do. He just doesn't have a plan right now.
And his family, like a lot of these, have been there for decades.
Some people who live in West Dallas have even been in the same rental home for decades. I talked to one woman who's been in the same little house for 50 years and paying $300 a month in rent.
All this development in West Dallas happened so quickly. In the 5 years since the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge opened, Santiago Calatrava designed those soaring white cables to link downtown and West Dallas.
And back in 2012, some people used to sneeringly refer to that bridge as the Bridge to Nowhere, which was pretty offensive to the thousands of people who live there. Doug Swanson is an author and former Dallas Morning News reporter who spent a lot of time in West Dallas back in the 80s.
I mean, you could obviously see the change coming. And then the apartments started going up, and I thought, well, I'm really an old-timer now, because I never would have thought that you would see any development like that in West Dallas. And I also thought, you know, what's going to happen to the people who've been living here?
Well, that's the question. To me, one of the fascinating things about this area is the history.
This is the very same neighborhood where Bonnie and Clyde joined forces. This neighborhood's been battling poverty and industrial pollution for almost 100 years, and now it's changing so fast that people really can't adapt or keep up.
And there's been this demographic transformation there, too.
During the Great Depression, West Dallas was really a poor white neighborhood. Then black families began to settle there once industry moved in, and now it's really a majority Latino neighborhood.
So, Courtney, what's being done to help these people?
There's a lot of different things going on right now. There's some money that has been set aside for relocation expenses, about $300,000 to be divided up among the families that are trying to find new places to live. The city, some other people are really pushing homeownership so that people could have a stake in their property, something to call their own instead of spending so much money over so much time on rent. There's a lot of longer-term solutions that are kind of being proposed, mixed income developments, maybe building more subsidized housing to begin with. But the one thing everyone really seems to agree on is there really is no place to go in the Dallas area for people used to spending $300 or $400 a month on rent.
And that kind of housing just doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
The series, One Crisis Away, No Place to Go, starts next Tuesday evening. We'll also have an extensive digital project with photos and video from the neighborhood. Looking forward to it, Courtney.
Thanks, Rick.
Partly cloudy skies expected this evening. Should be a low around 65 later on. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 83. It's currently 80 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.